This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Mason, back with Larinaga back in the day.
Right.
Of course, Butler, then Butler became a real big brand. But yeah, when you get guys to stick around for 3 or 4 years, now you got guys that are 24 playing on their third or fourth team. It's crazy. But either way, Clemson falls to McNeese State. They get blown out of the gym in the first half and then battle back only to lose by two. And it was pretty impressive, 69-67. But as we mentioned, you know, Will Wade taking that job to be the head coach of the Wolfpack up in Raleigh.
I think, Mike, when you're in this type of environment and you have all this pressure and you have all these expectations, even if you are McNeese State, because you're in. And as we saw, by them beating Clemson, anything can happen. I wouldn't be worried about that sort of a thing if I was a player or an assistant coach on the team that the head coach has checked out because he's already thinking about his next job. I would actually feel like, if anything, you want to leave your mark before you move on to your next gig. So be all in.
Hey, man, we got lots breaking. The Falcons making some more moves. We already talked about the Braves signing Verdugo, former Yankees, bounced around the league. But right now, let's get you up to speed with our daily download.
Story number one.
The Falcons bringing in more dudes, in this case a special teamer.
Yeah, Jamal Agnew is going to be the new return guy, I would presume, for the Atlanta Falcons after the departure of Avery Williams. He's a guy who's had some success in his career, both playing special teams and contributing on the offense at times. He was with Detroit. He was with Jacksonville, had successful seasons during both stops. He suffered a major knee injury in 2023, recovered from that. Now he's fully healthy and ready to go.
We signed Felipe Franks yesterday.
Yeah, we sure did, Mike. Well, at least this guy will have a defined role. I don't know what the heck Felipe's going to do.
I'm still, honestly, and I'm not trying to be a wise ass, I have no idea why he's here. I truly have no idea. So we'll figure that one out. That would be a fun question to talk to the coach about.
Is he going
to
be the Amir Khan of the Falcons?
He'll be our hype man. We'll get him a boom box. He'll come out of the big Falcon helmet. We'll get fired up. Jordan Fuller. We talked about him, 27-year-old. He had coached, Raheem Morris had coached him, I should say, with the Rams. He spent last year with Carolina. We spoke to, I apologize, our
Travis Hancock.
Travis Hancock joined us from WFNZ up in Charlotte, our sister station. He said that Fuller was just a dude. Nothing really special from him in a sort of a rotational role at safety. So that doesn't exactly get me that fired up. But, again, as you said, perhaps better success with a guy that knows how to use him, like Raheem Morris and presumably Jeff Ulbrich. That went down. Meanwhile, we found out that Lorenzo Carter signed with the Titans on a one-year deal.
Well, he'll do really well giving them his annual 3.5 sacks.
We love the guy, Georgia guy, but just, you know, as we always say, I mean, he looks like the prototypical edge rusher, but unfortunately the stats have never matched up with the physical promise of what this guy looks like. You know, as Skip would say, he's just poured into that uniform. Hey, man, this hour of Dukes and Bell is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Don't forget B-Dubs, guys. 5 o'clock hour brought to you by them, where you can always get a boneless Thursday. Buy one, get one boneless wings, man. BOGO with your boneless wings at B-Dubs. Also, guys, on to story number two.
Story number two.
shame, humiliation, and unless there's going to really be an amazing turnaround, defeat. Talking about the Georgia Bulldogs, who were a 6.5 dog for a reason. They're going up against a high-powered Gonzaga team, which, again, by Gonzaga's standards, they don't play the kind of great defense at the half court. They don't do the little things that maybe Mark Few's teams have done in the past. They do score a lot, and they've done that against Georgia. They're up by 20, 58-38.
They're hitting a astronomically high rate of threes. They're up around 75%. And they've turned Georgia over 10 times in the first half, leading to almost 20 points on offense, Mike, which at one point during the game made up almost the entire score.
You know, one of the things we were talking about off the air with a couple of Georgia fans here, and I've seen fans hit us up on the text line with it. Stake talked about it, Stake Shapiro, about the half hour ago. Where's Asa Newell in this offense? Do you run plays for him? Or would you get down by double digits and somebody just bomb threes?
I think you're not in a position.
But even when the game was before the game got blown out, which was basically about 5 minutes into the game, you know, where is the stuff for a guy that's supposed to be a, you know, potential lottery pick in the NBA? You can't do that if the coach doesn't use you. But that goes back to where ESPN did not have Asa Newell as one of those top 15 prospects in an article that came out this week.
Yeah, he and Silas Demery, the guys we've been talking about, they're the only ones who've done anything in this game. Asa has 16 points, 5-7 from the floor. Silas not as efficient, but still scoring 2-8 from the floor with 10 points. Nobody else has more than 5, Mike. So you basically have your two guys that you've been counting on all season long, but none of the role players that you need are doing anything. Meanwhile, you have guys off the bench contributing for Gonzaga in this game, and they have 3 starters in double digits.
So Georgia now down 17. Tennessee and Wofford are going to kick off about 6:50 on TNT. Auburn, yeah, it was like the typical game of runs where the great plucky kids from Alabama State with their play-in, you know, almost buzzer beater. It was a 10-point game at halftime, and then Auburn, Bruce Pearl's guys, took it over 83-63, the final there. Wisconsin, it's chalk, 3 over 14, Montana. Purdue, 4 versus 13, High Point, same thing, 75-63. And the big upset is McNeese over Clemson, 69-67. Earlier, Chris's bracket got busted. No one cares, Chris. Creighton takes out Louisville with a barrage of 3-point shots, 89-75.
Yeah, it was a sad day for your boy early, Mike, and it hasn't gotten much better, honestly.
Also, chalk, Houston takes out SIU Edwardsville. In case you're wondering, that's Southern Illinois. Edwardsville, that's a suburb on the other side of the Mississippi of St. Louis in Southern Illinois.
They held them to 40 points.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
You know, if you can't make it to SIU Edwardsville, they'll come and get you, and they'll get you your own set of tools.
Yeah, that's
right. That was Apex Tech.
But that's in all seriousness, that's Houston's calling card. That's what they're going to do that to teams that you actually know who they are.
And also more chalk, 6 versus 11, BYU over VCU, 63 for VCU. Yeah, 75-63, sorry. We'll go north to south. That's how you read the scores in America. Hey, man, there's your up-to-date on March Madness as we're hanging out live here at Hooters, guys. Cumberland location. Good friend Mark just rolled in, our good buddy. He's kind of like if Uncle Jesse was better looking. That's our man. Anyway, come on down and join the crew as we'll be here till 7 o'clock. And we've also got plenty more to dive into. Story number 3 involves Braves.
Story number 3.
We did cover it last hour, but for guys who missed it, great outing for Spencer Schwellenbach, but the Braves add some depth to the outfield.
Yeah, Alex Verdugo coming over, and he's coming cheap, $1.5 million deal, looks sort of a prove-it situation that you could still be a viable outfield option. He's not going to start. He's going to be a bench piece, but he's a guy with a really, really good glove, a guy that was hitting at the beginning of the year last year and then really tailed off to the point where he got taken out of the Yankees platoon for their championship run, and we'll see. Like, look, this is a Mike, if this is nothing else, it is a quintessential Alex Anthopoulos move. A guy with potential, a guy that's had success in the past, a guy that you may call a reclamation project, bringing him over on the cheap, giving him some run and seeing what he can do. Reeks of Alex Anthopoulos.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. You know me, I spent a half hour last hour screaming about the bullpen. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. All right, Georgia's going to make a run. It's coming. Okay, maybe not right now. They're now down 66-48. So, I mean, it's anything's possible. Keep it under 20. Get under 20 with 10 minutes left. Okay. All right, brother. Yeah, it's funny. A lot of guys are hitting us up on the and by the way, if you guys want to sound off, we're going to talk to Ovi Mihaly. Maybe we'll open up the phones at the last half hour of the program, but Ovi's going to talk some Falcons. I want to hear from Georgia fans because if this doesn't change, you know, here we go. Do you have expectations? Did you have any expectations for this team? Do you feel that, you know, Mike White is just a guy? You know, he's just a few games over 500. It's not like you come over, take a program over, and you have to build it up from square one. Now you simply get the transfer portal cranked up, and you make it work. It is interesting because Georgia is excited if you can't get to the next level. And the next level here was winning a first-round game. Getting to the tournament, to me, that doesn't mean jack. The SEC is loaded. Now, if you want to say, oh, it was a hell of a don't be that guy. Oh, it was a hell of an accomplishment because, man, the SEC has really gotten good. Yeah, everybody else has gotten better, and Georgia's basically stagnated, and all you did was basically get blown out of the gym in the first 5 minutes, and the coach had no idea what to do.
Well, I was about to say, even if you don't win, be representative in defeat to the point where teams and players are intrigued. Oh, you know what? Georgia looked pretty good. Maybe if I was there, that would have been the difference in the game.
Right.
Not, oh, my God. We're down by 22
yeah.
3 minutes.
I mean, like I said, we've said this a couple times today. Apologize for repeating myself. It'd just be really cool if Georgia can do what Alabama and Auburn does. You do it in football. Why can't you do it in the minds of most fans, the second most important sport?
Well, today's not a shining banner example
nope.
of how to make that happen.
Hey, man, appreciate the feedback. A couple guys hitting up. This Jake hits us up on the text line. Goes, yeah, man. Freaking brutal. He goes, it's time for some brown liquor. I hear you, brother. Some guys here today just literally kind of didn't have any expectations. Some Georgia fans, they wore the gear to support their school, but still did not really feel they were going to be able to make it happen. Vegas had Gonzaga as a 6.5-point favorite.
They're shooting 72% from three. That's
unbelievable. Where's the perimeter defense? Where's the rotations? It's kind of some of the things we say about the Hawks sometimes. Hawks don't play, by the way, until Saturday against Golden State.
We didn't play defense.
There's thank you. Your daily download.
Thanks, Nate.
And this hour of Dukes and Bell brought to you by our buddies at Firehouse Subs. Eat more subs and save more lives. We've got more chances for you guys to win tickets for college basketball at State Farm. We'll be signing folks up until 7 o'clock. Still got some Hooters goodies. So if you're in traffic on Cobb Parkway, if you're in this neck of the woods, come and see us at Hooters Cumberland. Coming up next, though, Ovi Mahaley. He was a bad man, fullback in the day. We'll get his take on the Falcons' moves. He's part of the Believe Network with his podcast. He's up next. One of our favorite guests, good dude, man, Ovi Mahaley, tough as nails, paving the way for Michael the Burner Turner. We're live here at Hooters with a bunch of Falcon fans. And I said, Ovi, like, here's perked up. Ovi's going to join us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Quick reminder, tomorrow, Andy, Randy, you're going to be at the Hooters store in Kennesaw with more chance for you to win tickets for not the 15, not the 17, but the one in between coming to State Farm.
That's
so
right.
If you want to win that, we'll have tickets and all sorts of great Hooters goodies as well. Georgia is getting humiliated.
Yeah.
And a lot of folks are angry, and I told you, I had no expectations going into this one, but we'll talk more about it to wrap the show up and get Georgia fans angry phone calls. But first, let's talk to Ovi Mahaley. What's up, superstar on the Believe Network? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, man. I'm a little upset that you guys are live at Hooters, and you didn't want me to do an in-person interview so I can help you sample the wings. You didn't think about
right.
that, huh? All right.
I'm telling you, man, I hope we can do some damage, man. But your body's a temple, right? I mean, my body's more like a bowling alley.
It is. But every now and then I have a cheat meal or two or three, and wings are, one of my favorites.
Well, Ovi, we'll be out tomorrow. I'll send you a text, and you feel free to come by, my friend.
Yes, sir. Will do.
Right on. Twin Peaks, by the way, in Buckhead. Ovi, let me ask you a question about locker room attitude and how guys approach. I know when it comes to the money, if a guy has a holdout, guys have their back because there's only a small amount of time in the NFL to make as much money as you can. How do you think players will react if Kirk Cousins is in the locker room when camp opens this summer after the weirdness and everything that's happened in the last few months?
It's going to be strange because, and me and Mike talked about this. We filmed the episode Believe in Falcons for the first time in a long time, and we were talking about Kirk Cousins supposedly being frustrated or him supposedly holding out or acting up in any way. Like I would hope to think that he has enough maturity and he realizes the optics around the fact that, dude, you won. Like the $100 million that you got guaranteed and not giving that production. You should not cause any distraction at all. And even though most guys, most players are in support of those who hold out because, as you mentioned, guys got a limited amount to make money, make your money. But if they see somebody that's taking advantage of the system and that's just doing things that are unbecoming, like Kirk would be doing if he did anything but be a model Falcon citizen, that would rub people the wrong way.
All right. So with that as the backdrop, from your experience and everything you've seen in the league and transaction-wise, Do you believe that between now and the start of the season, there will be a team desperate enough to bite and make a trade?
I don't think so. I mean, I would like it to be wrapped up with a bow before the start of the season, but I think it's going to have to be one of these. We want to, because they want to get the most out of the Kirk Cousins trade, and everyone else wants to get him for cheap, and it's not going to happen until something happens midseason. You know, God forbid an injury to a right. starter where they need somebody, or desperation is a very powerful motivator. That desperation is going to occur game 4, 5, or 6 when the guy who was supposed to lead this team to the Super Bowl has a season-ending injury. And like Kirk has said, he did not forget how to play football. For some reason, he got injured, didn't tell anybody, but he didn't forget how to play football, and he can be a great quarterback to fill in that role for a team when he's that one missing piece. So I don't think it's going to happen, or the Falcons aren't going to let him go until they see exactly what they want, and that's not going to happen until midseason.
Yeah, it may be a compromise and just trying to buy. That's the thing. I think any idea, it gets like it's disappearing. It's going away. The idea that we could get like a draft pick for this NFL draft, Obi, just seems like it's not going to be in the offing. So maybe a post-June trade, you know, somebody comes with an injury or, as you said, just a strange set of circumstances. Obi Mihaly's with us, guys, here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Falcons legendary fullback. As far as the rest of the squad, it seems to me like the offense is good to go. Did you see enough from Michael Penix Jr.? Do you feel confident that he's there'll be some rookie mistakes because it's still kind of a rookie, you know, first season, but how do you feel he's going to play?
Oh, I love Michael Penix. That's a guy to where Falcons fans like, oh, that in Terry Fontenot we trust, because if Terry did not make that move, we would be in one of these Falcons off seasons like we've seen ourselves year after year, wondering what the heck are we going to do now? Like, we got another, you know, a quarterback conundrum, and we're bringing out guys from retirement and just scratched our head. No, we don't have that. We, for the first time in a long time, have a solid QB, not only a solid QB, but a superstar in the making, to where if he just grows, if he just does the bare minimum and keeps on getting better, we can win games. Because we were, year before, 2 years before, 3 years before, we were a quarterback away from winning games. And so Michael Penix is a guy who I think is coachable enough to where all those rookie mistakes we saw before, he can fix those and find a way to be the durable, consistent QB, level-headed QB that we've been missing for years.
With as important as the center quarterback connection is, were you surprised, A, that they let Dahlman go, and then B, do you think that Nuziel is the guy?
Yes, I was surprised, and yes, I think that he's the guy, just because the rest of our offensive line, they showed, and you know, as a honorary offensive lineman, as a fullback, I watched those guys, and they showed that they could handle themselves. Bijan didn't get those yards by himself, even though he is an amazing talent and broke some tackles. That offensive line was doing their dang job all season long, and they kept the QB clean for the most part. So the fact that they have a cohesiveness, they have a brotherhood, they have a certain, rhythm that they're in, as long as you're not replacing 2, 3, 4 guys, you're fine. So I think you'd be able to switch in a new center and not lose too much steam.
Yeah, man, Nuziel, like I said, we joke around. Obi, we didn't complain about him, you know, so he was conspicuous without making mistakes. I love Bergeron, by the way, on the left side. He's got some attitude.
Oh, yeah.
He's a fun dude. He was confident from the jump, so you're right. The offensive line, knock wood, good to go. McGarry, though, do you worry about McGarry sometime protecting now the blind side?
That's weird, man. Like, the blind side has changed up, and you usually pay the left tackle. Now, do you pay the left tackle less that now he's not the blindside tackle and the right tackle is the blindside tackle? Interesting how they do that. But Caleb McGarry, we had him on the show, the podcast, and had a chance to talk to him a little deeper. I feel like he's a guy who understands that he's good. He's on that cusp of being great, consistently great, like a Pro Bowl player, but it's going to take work. And now that the lights are going to be on him, he's going to be the blindside lineman. I think he can raise his game. I've seen it before. I've done it before. When the pressure is the most and, you know, people are talking about can he do it, and that doubt, that chip on your shoulder, that makes you dig deep and find ways to be the best version of yourself. I think Caleb can do that.
with the offseason moves so far, plus whatever they're going to do in the draft, Ovi, is the defense spackled enough to this point where they're going to be able to remain competitive in games and not have what happened last season and the season before where you're giving up game-winning drives and giving up blowouts to teams like the Panthers?
I don't think so. I feel like we need more, man. Whenever I get confident, like last year, we got Justin Simmons. I was like, oh, we're in there. We got Jude on. I was like, oh, it's over. We're going to the Super Bowl. I'm like, you look at Justin Simmons' production, and the guy's like one of the top intercepting safeties in the last 3, 4, 5 years in Denver. Like, oh, he's going to come in and automatically make us a contender. Didn't happen. You think see Jude on, and you know him in his red jersey, red sleeves, was like, oh man, this guy's gonna come out here and be a red flash and be out there in the backfield. He's gonna live. It's a party at the quarterback. Didn't happen. So, as much as I want to be optimistic, I need y'all to overcompensate on defense. Make me at all Falcons Nation feel good that you guys got more than enough, because we go ham. We go hard for offense all the time with the Bijans and the Drakes and the Kyle Pitts, and we getting Penix. We spending money and time. And defense, it seems like we just have a hope and a dream and say, ah, this should be good enough. We got some duct tape here, and we you know, got a little Lorenzo there and add this guy. No, I want us to go as hard on defense as we go on offense. You know, we got rid of my boy Grady Jarrett. We need to build up that D so we can make sure we get to the QB.
And that's the thing, man, is Ovi Mahaly, a longtime Falcon, joins us here. Guys, check him out on the Believe Network with his podcast. Always got great insight on your favorite team. And that's the thing, Ovi. I mean, it's almost like we got to get results from the young guys. Troy Anderson's got to stay on the field. Rook Arororo, IR last year for half the season. They moved up because they expect him to be a real difference maker on that D-line. And then, you know, Braylon Trice. I loved it. I love what I saw from Braylon Trice last summer. And then, of course, blows his knee out in the preseason game. Those guys all have to really have an impact. I mean, kind of like the rookies in 2016 did.
Yep. And that's why we got to the Super Bowl. Because those young players – you're as good as your worst players. If your worst players can get coached up, can find ways on special teams to, you know, to play out of their mind, that's when teams win championships. And we got to get our young guys, our free agents, our new guys. We can't have anybody taking plays off. We can't have any busts or bad picks and it didn't work out. Like my man Arlo Ebiketie, you know, my fellow African, he has to go out there and not just wait till the second half of the season to go off. Like, do that all year long. Start game one. Like, show us what you got, and take that next step. I love AK. I love what he did coming off the bye and just seemed to be a different person. I need that all season long from him and Troy Anderson. Stay healthy. Troy was I talked a little trash about Troy Anderson. I'm like, he doesn't look like an NFL linebacker, but he showed me and played like an NFL linebacker with his numbers. I want Troy to be healthy and make our defense better. So we'll see. But, you know, we kind of backed up Kirk Cousins with Michael Penix. Let's do that in some big positions on defense. Let's have more than one option that we can trust that will get the job done. Why not?
All right, Ovi, this time next year, calendar year from now, are we talking about Kyle Pitts, the new focal fixture in the Falcons offense, or how he's suiting up for the Rams?
Ooh, that's a good one. And funny enough, shout out to the organization I work with, Community and Schools. They have a big event that I'm the chair of, Choose Success. They're the number one dropout prevention program in the country. And my man Frank Brown, who runs it, we're doing some big things. The Falcons were blessing us with a Kyle Pitts jersey. And I said, all right, this jersey's going to mean something. We're auctioning this off, so Kyle Pitts has got to make it happen. So, Kyle, I got your jersey. We're going to raise some money for these kids, and we are going to stay positive and say that the rookie Kyle Pitts, the Pro Bowler Kyle Pitts, with Matt Ryan, because he had a quarterback. I can't get a quarterback with Kirk, too, but Kirk was off and on. But with Michael Penix, hopefully that young energy will bring Kyle Pitts back. I feel like he's too good. He's too talented. And same thing that I talked about before, he's got to hear the noise. Yes. He's got to hear the chirping. And for me personally, I don't like people doubting me, especially when I know I have the talent. And so I'm going to do everything I can to make everyone eat those words. And Kyle should be wanting to do that because there are a lot of people who don't think he has it. So I would take that as a challenge and go out there and have a Pro Bowl year. Hopefully he does that.
I'll speak for Carl, who's in Vegas. He doesn't have it. He doesn't have the eye of the tiger. We talked about loving the game, but I hope he does. He's a really nice guy. He's a family man. He's a good dude. It's never personal. It's business. But I didn't like his camp putting it out there, Ovi. I'm going to work 10 times harder because immediately you know what people say on Twitter. So what were you doing last year? Either way.
Oh, that's a great point. Yeah.
You know, that's part of it. And one last nugget for you before we cut you loose. Coach Raheem, you know, he was no rookie. I mean, he'd been around the league. Is he going to get better with these coaching decisions? And what do you think Ulbrich's going to bring as far as the D.C.?
Yeah, Ulbrich's going to bring everything. I mean, look at that man's numbers. People talk a good game, but actions speak louder than words. And his actions, his numbers say that the man knows what he's doing. He can get us a result. But Raheem, like, I mean, we all did. All of Atlanta did a detailed breakdown of how he manages the clock and not calling timeouts. I would hope that he learned. That was inexplicable because he's already a veteran coach. But now I think he's going to go and work twice as hard just to make the little things matter. And those small decisions are not going to hurt us, because your job as a coach is to help us win games, not to ever hurt the team. And a couple decisions were questionable enough to where people were wondering what's really going on. But Raheem has it. In Terry Fontenot, we trust, and Raheem, we trust. He's going to bring it together. He's got to. He has a rookie quarterback and a lot of opportunity. So I'm going to stay positive with the Falcons and hope that they give us something to cheer about.
Right on. Ovi, always bringing positivity and action. All right, big man. We'll be catching you. The Believe Podcast. Appreciate you coming on, spending time, man. Enjoy the rest of the tournament.
Will do. Thank you, sir.
That's my man, Ovi Mahaley. We'll come back. Georgia fans, it's been a bloodbath in the first round. How does it make you feel? 404-726-0929. Are you a Georgia fan who's upset it's been this bad? Did you have no expectations because over the years you've realized that Georgia basketball is not important in your world? It's all about football and you maybe go to Stegman once in a while. Or, you know, basically, you know, you're just angry about this because this is an embarrassment.
It is.
This is a first-round beatdown. 404-726-0929. If you're a Georgia fan or just a basketball fan, what do you make of this? What do you feel? And, you know, Mike White saying they'd be ready for this big moment. Not even close.
Nope. Dukes and Bell, we are live from Hooters in Cumberland. Chris Thomas, Turtle, hanging out with Mike Bell, in for Carl, who is living la vida loca in Las Vegas. And yeah, guys, it is not good for the Bulldogs right now. Well, it is good technically for the Bulldogs because they're both Bulldogs, but our Bulldogs, as in the Georgia Bulldogs, Mike Bell, are down big with just 2 minutes left.
Yeah, man, and this is where we're asking you guys, what do you think? I mean, 404-726-0929. I mean, what you expected? You expected more? Are you angry about it? Is anyone even calling about it, Orin?
Indifference.
So there you go. Orin is talking to some of the people on the phone right now.
I would presume so, yes.
No call. Nope. There you go. The people who've spoken. Nobody cares.
They're indifferent.
As I've said for 25 years, that no one cares about Georgia basketball until you give them a reason to care about Georgia basketball.
This is not helping. This is not helping.
No, I mean, this is where we, again, this is something that's why I rant and rave about it, to be down 22, to be basically blown out of the gym, you know, and this, and you're an 8-9. You're supposed to be evenly matched. Now, again, yes, the tournament doesn't always get it right, but this is why I kept asking the question, is Georgia going to be tournament worthy? And the answer is hell no.
No, they're not. And quite frankly, you have a lot of work to do in a lot of different areas because you got exposed as a team that can be turned over. You got exposed as a team that can give up the three at an astronomical clip, meaning 72% from three for the game Gonzaga is, which is insane. You've been beaten pillar to post in every area. And, Mike, you thought maybe there was a spark coming out of halftime, and it just didn't happen.
Right. Look at the second highest scoring team in college for a reason. They average 86.6. They just clipped to 89, so they're right above their average. But that's what you knew coming in. Georgia's calling card was strong defense. Unfortunately, we said everyone needed to be letter perfect. A lot of folks asking why wasn't Asa Newell a bigger part earlier to try to slow down some of that momentum, try to get the ball to him. I know a lot of guys have been hitting this up on the text line about that. Those guys do care. I mean, what is there to say? It's all over but the shouting.
No, yeah, I don't think it's a lack of care. I think you were just outclassed, Mike. We were talking about this, you know, not to pat ourselves on the back, but we nailed the pregame prediction that this was going to be a game where Georgia would have to play their absolute best, their absolute apex. Their two big studs, Ace Newell and Silas Demery Jr., who both had okay games, would need to have outstanding games. They didn't do that. And that the real big advantage was Mark Few over Mike White. And right. You saw them get exposed. Mike, they had 10 turnovers in the first half.
Yeah, just ugly. I mean, you talked about 15, what did you say, 15 points off of turnovers?
In the first quarter of the first half, they were down by 15 points.
Man, brutal. So that's where it stands. Clemson also falls to McNeese. No longer McNeese, it's just McNeese, right? But anyway,
McNeese gets
it done. And the interesting story about that is they got their own hype man. The team manager's got his own NIL deal named Amir Khan. And the kid is pretty funny. They had a feature on CBS and on TBS showing how he gets everybody hyped. And it was funny. Rusty Manziel on Twitter today was like, oh, this isn't good, because they come out of the room and they're blasting the music. He's got the big boom box and everybody's hype. And they ripped Clemson worse than Gonzaga ripped Georgia to start that game in a 5-12 matchup.
And then Clemson, unlike Georgia, was able to come roaring back, but they fall just short. And, Mike, that's another difference, too. You see a team like Clemson who was able to get back in the game. Why? Because of the state of their program. They're just ahead of where Georgia is right now. All these other teams are ahead of where Georgia is right now. And it's a shame because Coach White, listen, I don't know how long or how short the leash is going to be.
Well, you'll be going into year three. You have a tournament appearance. But this is why, talking to Florida fans, he got out before they asked him to leave Florida. Basically, could you go make your own deal? They were going to fire him in Gainesville. Okay, you had Tom Crean, who just did nothing at Indiana. I mean, think about that. From Marquette in the Final Four to Indiana to did nothing at Georgia. You know, I mean, it's just, you always get guys at the wrong time. You know, you either got to, that's what's so interesting about, like, you know, like Nate Oates, great hire for Alabama. Got to find that guy. And they never seem to find, they thought they had that guy with Mark Fox. Not that guy.
Nope.
You know, if you go back and you look at Bruce Pearl. Is Georgia, it's what was the feelings? Bruce Pearl couldn't get the interview? Why don't you think outside the box? I guess it has to be a job opening, but the point is Auburn is willing to get and go for it. Yeah, Bruce is a little icky. Yeah, he's a used car salesman. Sure, he might not win a national championship, but you're viable.
But he
People
wins
are
games.
Talking about you,
yeah.
And you're in the mix every year. You're excited about your program because you know you're in the mix. You got a chance.
You know what's so funny, too, to watch, Mike, during the regular season when they go to the post-game show and it's ESPN and it's Josh Pastner sitting next to Tom Crean. It's like the two guys in this state that were supposed to turn the programs around are sitting next to each other on TV doing the games as
Right, and Carl's got a good relationship with Josh and his dad going back to, you know, Houston and all that. But, yeah, that's another one with Tech. Tech's been in the same boat, you know, from Brian Gregory and all these is mediocre. You hire mediocrity, you get mediocrity, you know, and that's I hope that Coach Dame can do it. He is certainly a name that can bring some big guys in. Georgia Tech's alum have shown the willingness to open up the checkbook and help out. But this year, I mean, I know injuries only go so far as an excuse, but they were decimated by injuries at Tech.
Yeah, they were. And listen, I think that you can – I can see – let me put it this way, Mike. I can see a path to success much clearer right now for Tech than I do for Georgia after this performance.
Georgia about to go down. It's wrapping up final seconds. And Gonzaga, you know, up just as Chris said, just a humiliating defeat to It's bad. Hey, man, let's get out of here and clear our throats. Hey, man, great time here at Hooters Cumberland. Thanks, everybody, for showing up. Our usual suspects and making some new friends as well. And again, guys, the action continues at Hooters tomorrow. Kennesaw Store with Andy Rende. So come on down and get a chance to win some tickets for more of the college basketball action next weekend at State Farm Arena. They'll have the registration box, and everybody from today and tomorrow, you'll be in the drawing to win it all. Thanks to our guest today, starting with our guest from Charlotte.
Yeah, we had, to recap, Armando Salguero, we had Joe Patrick, we had Travis Hancock.
Travis was the one who said our new safety is nothing special.
Yeah, we'll see, Mike Bell.
Okay.
And Ovi Mahaley, of course, tomorrow we'll check in with our buddy B-Mac D-Led, who was at Alabama's Pro Day.
You're darn right I was!
And how are the Hawks doing during this essential mini bye week?
It really is. If you're banged up, it's a great time because next game is Golden State, kind of giving the stage to college basketball right now. But, yeah, the Hawks will be in action on Saturday. We'll continue the conversation about the Braves, getting Verdugo in, the former – yeah, he's been bounced around the league. Chris is excited because he thinks it's less time for calendar conference.
Damn. I got – Mike, after today, I got to have something to hang my hat on.
All right, man. Thanks to Gordon G. Money, our man, the commissioner, Gordon, for doing the job today. And thanks to everybody here at Hooters for making us so welcome. Let's get out of here. Clear your throat.
Yeah, Mike, the Braves continue to make moves, but they don't make money moves. And what I mean by that is you continue to spackle the roster when it does need another star piece or two. And I mean either in the rotation or in the bullpen, as both you and I have been clamoring for. I just will never understand why, when you're so close to glory and so close to victory, you don't go all in. Is it not worth it for the companies that own the Braves, the subsidiaries, to put in the extra resources and reap the benefits of another championship parade, albeit going 55 miles an hour down Peachtree Street? I will just say, maybe think about the ROI if you win another chip.
I'm with you, brother. I mean, I just don't know why we skimp on the pitching. Hey, man, always a tough day at the links. I've thrown some clubs in my time. Never punted one. Former Auburn golfer, now on the tour, Patton Kizzier, playing in the Valspar Open down in Tampa St. Pete this weekend. He withdrew from a back injury, but what happened at 15, he misses a 5 foot 6 inch putt, drops his putter and punts it, bending his putter, having him finish the rest of his round using a wedge. And then he went, oh, like Rodney Dangerfield, my back. Come on, dude. It's one thing when we do it, you're a pro, act like you've been there. Come on. No club damage like that. If you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
you think Alex Verdugo is the answer to your problems.
Ugh.